This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Sure, there were squirt guns before 1982, but come on. Little molded plastic things that held a couple of spitfuls of water, only shot a couple of inches and had that lame plug that leaked all the time. Remember that? But then there was a moment of discovery, and that is the subject of this installment of our series, Summer, brought to you by
Imagination.
Wonderful products.
Brought to you by...
Today, the Super Soaker and Lonnie Johnson, the man who invented it. Mr. Johnson, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kai. It's my pleasure. I love your show.
Well, thank you very much. And I love your Super Soaker. I got to tell you, I think I have three of them in my backyard. I need one more for the other kid.
Well, good for you.
How did it come to pass that you invented this thing?
Well, I was actually working on a different invention. I was working on a new type of heat pump for refrigerators and air conditioners. And I wanted to use water as a working fluid instead of Freon because I wanted working fluid that was environmentally friendly. And so I was machined some nozzles, was experimenting at home, actually, and shot some streams of water into the sink. And then I turned and shot across the bathroom where I was doing these experiments. And I thought to myself, geez, this would make a neat water gun. So I decided to put the hard science stuff aside and start working on some really fun stuff.
It bears a mention here that you weren't just noodling around with this heat pump. I mean, you are a nuclear engineer by training. You have worked on rocket programs and space stuff. I mean, it's kind of interesting to me that you came up with this toy, basically, in the process of doing all this high-tech stuff.
Well, that was the idea. You know, I was, at the time, actually, I was in California. I was working at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. I was working on the Galileo project. And when I would go home, I would work on my own projects because it's really tough to operate as an independent inventor. So I still had to keep my day job. I decided that, you know, I could develop a toy and get some revenue from that and then use that revenue to really become an inventor working on some of the more challenging projects that I had in mind.
I'm going to take this interview a little sideways now just because I think it's fascinating, and you're an interesting guy to talk to. You grew up in the South in the days of segregation in this country, and you were told at not a couple of points in your education, your career, that you were never going to be more than a technician because you were a black kid, right?
Yeah, Kai, you've done your homework, I see.
Well, I try.
yeah, I experienced all of that. You know, I've been an inventor all my life. When I was a small kid, I was always tinkering and building and making things. If I wasn't taking them apart just to figure out how certain things would put together. And I always knew I wanted to be an engineer, inventor, even before I knew what those words meant. You know, my high school was, when I graduated, it was still segregated. And so it really, there was a lot of reasons to doubt oneself. About the same time when I was told that I should try to be a technician and, you know, I didn't have what it would take to be an engineer. That year, my junior year, I started working on my robot. I had seen the Lost in Space robot, Robbie the robot. And so that inspired me. I wanted to have my own robot. And, of course, no one told me as a kid that, you know, those robots really have people inside. I actually, when I looked at TV. So I actually started building Lonix. It took me over a year to build him. And eventually, I ended up presenting him at the science engineering conference that was actually sponsored by the same organization that said I shouldn't try to become an engineer. Hmm. And that was held at the University of Alabama. And this was in the 60s, just a few years after Governor Wallace had stood in the door and said no blacks should come to this university. And I won first place. Hmm. So that was, to me, a real personal victory.
When did you know that this was going to change your life? Because it kind of has. I mean, when you, not to be morbid, but when you die, right, the New York Times obituary is going to be Lonnie Johnson, inventor of the Super Soaker, and, oh, by the way, holder of 80 other patents, dies.
Actually, it's over 100 patents.
All right, well, that's still going to be the third line, though, you know?
Well, the first time I operated it, I went, oh, geez, wow, this is great. It took me about 7 years. What was interesting about it, though, is that the water gun did have the magic. Whenever I presented it, most of the companies that I presented it to liked it. So that was very encouraging. And it turned out the difficult part at first was my understanding what was needed and what was going to take to be successful. Initially, I wanted to manufacture the product myself. And I got quotes from them. I mean, it was going to cost a couple hundred thousand dollars to get the first 1,000 guns off of the product line. And here I was a captain in the Air Force and didn't have $200,000. So I said, well, okay, there's some things I need to learn.
Maybe I could just license this thing out.
Yeah, that's a very important point, Kai, because at that point I said, okay, I'm willing to lose. I'm willing to, you know, the only way I'm going to learn what I need to know in order to be successful is to take the risk, put it out there. If things go wrong, as long as I learn from the experience, I get to go again.
Well, Mr. Johnson, thanks very much for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kai.